This is They Say the War is Over, written by Cloud Pennies and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Cody / Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is part 5 of the A Fire Within My Soul series. Summary: The Clone Wars may be over, but the battle for clone citizenship is far from decided. Or, the Senate don't care what happens to the clones, Obi-Wan does, and does something about it. And Cody, even though he doesn't realize it, helps too. What do you mean we don't have enough votes? The crisp Coruscant-y consonants masked the rougher burr of mid-rim Stujon. The voice was just a few decibels louder than usual, but more than loud enough to reverberate in the Senate District high-rise. On the couch across from the Stujon-y senator, Senator Bail Organa of Alderaan heaved a tired sigh. They had been discussing this for what felt like hours, and it was going nowhere fast. We lost a few key systems, he admitted, pinching the bridge of his nose as if to ward off a headache. With Palpatine awaiting trial, there's not many senators left who want to acknowledge the war, let alone the existence of the clones. Obi-Wan stirred his tea with a touch more force than necessary, restraining his frustration. How much of the Senate do you think we will get? Padme shrugged one shoulder, a sad smile on her lips. If we're lucky, we might get about a third of the vote. They didn't need to be geniuses to work out what that meant. Which means 2/3 of the Senate are going to vote against our bill. Bail nodded sadly. At least. This would be the time when we ask ourselves if it's even worth continuing, Obi-Wan muttered, scrubbing his hand over his beard. In the months they'd spent campaigning for this, he had never felt so hopeless. Horror flashed across Padme's beautiful face, the Naboo senator leaning forward in her chair. Obi-Wan? I don't mean it, Padme, he sighed, resisting the urge to drop his head into his hands. We owe it to them to at least try. You never know. A smile graced his lips. We might get lucky and nearly get half the Senate on our side. And if we don't, if we still lose, Bail had the right to ask, but Obi-Wan couldn't bear to consider it. He was the one with the closest relationship to the clones. He was the one who had told them they were campaigning to grant them citizenship. If our bill fails, Obi-Wan uttered softly, staring out over the Coruscant-y skyline to the Jedi Temple. Then we'll simply have to enact Plan B and try again later. A wrinkle appeared above Padme's nose. Didn't we agree Plan B was a disaster? A soft hum escaped Obi-Wan's lips. Plan C would be a catastrophe, and Plan D was charmingly described as a dumpster fire, so Plan B it is. Padme smoothed down a wrinkle on her gown, smiling as she rested her hand on her stomach. Surely the Jedi can assist us. The Jedi don't have the resources to shelter 3 million clone troopers, Padme, Obi-Wan gently reminded her. And, short of packing them on ships and sending them out to explore the Uncharted region, I don't see what option we have. As increasingly of late, Bail interjected with the voice of reason. We don't know for certain that we've lost yet. There is still hope. We could blackmail them. Obi-Wan's eyes narrowed, sending a glare at the new arrival. That is not a helpful suggestion, Anakin. Anakin spread his hands grandly, shrugging under Obi-Wan's glare. If you're seriously contemplating Plan B, Obi-Wan, I think we're open to unhelpful suggestions. In fact, the more the merrier, old friend. With shaking hands and no stomach for it, Obi-Wan set his cup on the table. When he spoke, it was to Anakin, soft and regretful. I promised them. You promised them you'd try, Obi-Wan, Anakin corrected gently, and nobody can deny that you have, all of you. Bail rose to his feet, smiling slightly at Anakin. Forgive me, Master Jedi, but we have to leave for the vote. Obi-Wan forced a smile to his lips. Wish us luck. Anakin nodded once, projecting confidence into the Force. Good luck. We might not need it, Padme teased, her smile small but genuine. We have the Negotiator on our side, after all. Obi-Wan chuckled without mirth. I doubt very much that even my legendary negotiation skill can sway those pompous prigs to our cause. But it is worth a try. Bail and Padme stepped ahead, entering the speeder Bail had arrived in. Anakin caught Obi-Wan's wrist, his hold loose but firm. Rex asked me to pass on a message from Cody. From Cody? A small smile curved Obi-Wan's lips without his knowledge. As Marshal Commander, Cody had been sent with the main force of clones to Kamino. There, they awaited the verdict of the Senate debate. As one of the 5 senators who had lent their names and influence to the Clone Citizenship Act, Obi-Wan hadn't seen Cody in 4 long months. He couldn't, they couldn't, risk ruining the chances of succeeding with the act simply because of a relationship between a senator and a clone commander. He says that no matter what happens, he knows you tried your best. He says try not to threaten the Senate with your lightsaber just because they don't agree with your position. Oh, and he said something in Mandoa that I didn't understand. And he expressly told Rex to make sure that you actually calm after the debate and not to blame yourself if things don't go our way. One eyebrow arched curiously. He said all that. Anakin's trademark grin stretched on his lips. Rex filtered out some of the more colorful language about your colleagues in the Senate, but I'm sure you got the gist. Obi-Wan flashed a quick smile. He could imagine all too well some of the things Cody had to say about his colleagues. It was nothing he hadn't heard him say before, and nothing he didn't agree with. Many of his colleagues did deserve to have the stick up their shebs forcibly removed by a pair of tweezers. Well, please ask Rex to tell Cody that I'll try, and that I will calm as soon as I can. Senator Kenobi, Padme called, mischief bright in her voice. We're going to be late for our own debate. Obi-Wan met Anakin's worried gaze, feeling a sigh shake his shoulders. Come on then, Annie, he beckoned, nodding the Jedi ahead. You can be my guard to make sure none of us get kidnapped on the way, and you ensure I don't accidentally terrorize any senators with my saber. If anyone's going to do that, Obi, I'm pretty sure it would be me, Anakin muttered, but he happily climbed in beside his beloved wife. Obi-Wan might no longer be a Jedi, having been forced to give that up for his seat on the Senate, not his choice, but a story for another day, but he suddenly had a very bad feeling about this. The small hope of winning the day flickered in his chest, threatening to fade entirely. It had been so long since he had felt the sunbright warmth of his dear commander bolstering his strength, giving him the faith he needed to push through another hopeless day. But, perhaps, that was why Cody had risked sending a message through Rex. Today, of all days, Obi-Wan could not let his strength falter. Hours later, night had fallen over Coruscant. Outside the Senate building, a handful of senators stood separate from the rest, steps slow and dejected. Obi-Wan held a hand to his throat, hoping the warmth of his palm might go some way to easing the throb that lay within. He had spoken for most of the debate, using what little influence he had left to attempt and sway the already made minds of his colleagues. There was only so often he could remind the ungrateful bastards, sorry, his illustrious colleagues, that the clones had literally saved the Republic. Their sacrifice deserved repayment. Citizenship was only fair. Sadly, the galaxy was rarely fair. All of Obi-Wan's arguments, his gentle reminders, his persuasive prose, all of Padme's campaigning and late-night conversations, all of Bail's maneuvering and favors, all of it was for naught. The bill failed. barely even a third of the Senate were grateful enough to wish for clone citizenship. In the end, it was Obi-Wan who had to stop Anakin from whipping out his lightsaber and demanding the Senate reconsider. It would have done no good. The Senate were bound and determined to forget the war in any way they could. The clones were merely collateral damage in that aim. Tonight, standing in the shadow of their hypocrisy, Obi-Wan had never regretted being a senator more. Anakin tried on a smile, faltering but almost sincere. So, plan B? Obi-Wan stroked his beard, nodding to himself. Plan B, he agreed, wincing at the scratch of his vocal cords. Meet tomorrow to discuss it. Bail bade them goodnight, promising to return to Padme's apartment in the morning to continue their discussions. Anakin led them back to Padme's apartment building, where Obi-Wan lived in a more modest apartment. Jedi life wasn't always so easy to abandon, all but hovering around his wife and unborn children. They stopped on Obi-Wan's floor, Anakin grinning teasingly at his brother in lineage. Are you going to calm Cody tonight? Unimpressed, Obi-Wan raised an eyebrow, pointing silently to his throat. 4 hours of increasingly passionate debate was hardly conducive to enjoying a discussion with his paramour. And even if he were able to speak without wincing, he hardly believed he would be good company tonight. In the morning, perhaps, his thoughts would be clearer, and he might see a better way than the ludicrousness that was Plan B. You want to do what, my love? You heard me, Obi-Wan replied easily, if a little quieter than normal. His throat was still a little tender, but nothing he couldn't live with, especially not with a soothing cup of tea by his hand. I am Senator of Stujon, and the heir to a very old family, which is why they called me back from the Jedi Order. You have said, Senator, Cody sniffed, displeasure hovering in his voice. But that hardly explains how your proposal saves us. I have some small sway with my system, Cody, Obi-Wan stated, taking a sip of tea. The warmth slid down his throat, soothing the sting of his exertions yesterday. Trust me when I say, though it sounds crazy, this will work. I trust you with my life, Obi-Wan, you know that. Cody's gaze was soft even through the holocall. But explain. The Senate refused to grant you citizenship in the Republic. That is their right. But, as Senator of Stujon, under the ancient laws of our first settlers, I can change that. And to do that, you need to marry one of us. That wasn't the most romantic way of putting it, but, in essentials, Cody was correct, as the remarkable man often was. Yes. Even through the blue filter of the call, Obi-Wan could see the exact moment Cody finally understood. Obi-Wan's only regret was that he couldn't yet see the sparkling amber of his dear commander's eyes. When do you want the delegation on Coruscant by? When can you leave? Cody offered a slight bow, unable to hide the smile upon his lips. I'll see you soon, Senator. Considering their official business well and finished, Obi-Wan melted back into the embrace of his chair. Hurry, my dear, he bade softly, letting the hint of Stujon back into his accent. I miss you. And I you, Nerkarta, Cody murmured, his own voice dropping into the smoother cadence he used when it was just the two of them. I'll be on Coruscant shortly, and I'll be sure to thank you properly when I arrive. Thank me? Obi-Wan's brow furrowed. Whatever for, my dear? Shamelessly exploiting a loophole the Senate don't even know about. Caring enough to help my brothers. Being a good man. Take your pick, Obi-Wan. They're all true. And you say you don't know how to flirt. Any hoarseness in his voice was explainable by the strain of yesterday, not emotion because of Cody's rare speech. Cody touched his fingers to his lips, Obi-Wan mirroring the action as 1,000 times before. Standing before the Senate not a week after they dismissed his bill ought to have been a more nerve-wracking thing. As it was, Obi-Wan felt quietly confident, standing there and letting them know exactly what he had done, and gladly. I gave the Senate the chance to do the right thing, the decent thing, but they refused. Therefore, I was left with no choice. Mutters immediately sprang up, many disapproving and glaring at the Stujani senatorial pod. Obi-Wan decided he couldn't give two figs. He could feel the approval from Padme and Bail, Rio Chuchi and Mon Mothma, and a handful of other senators who were just about decent. He wasn't here to ask permission, nor was he here to ask forgiveness. He had come, simply and entirely, to tell them what had happened, and if they didn't like it, tough. You married Clone Trooper Designation CC-2224. Obi-Wan's eyes narrowed, his polite smile falling from his lips. No. Calming his mind like Qui-Gon had taught him so many years before, Obi-Wan faced the senator responsible for that idiotic comment. I married Marshal Commander Cody. It took every ounce of his will to keep himself from adding, and if you ever call any clone by their designation ever again, I will take out my lightsaber and run you through and just try and convict me for it. If it happened to come through in his sharp smile, well, he was only a mere senator. He couldn't be expected to have control of all his expressions. When? The question, accusatory by any other senator, came from Pantora's. Rio Chuchi was smiling as she spoke, seeming proud. Shortly after my seventh kidnap, Obi-Wan replied, smiling at Cody with his eyes. He was in his best uniform, military straight, but giving Obi-Wan all the support he could ever need. I realized life was simply too short, and there was no law against it. Obi-Wan's grin turned wicked. Believe me, I checked. Cody hid a smile in a twitch of his lips, his amusement plain to anyone who could decipher his implacable masks. Rex snorted beside him, the two troopers flanking Obi-Wan in an implicit reminder of where their allegiances now lay. 3 million and counting clone troopers, all owing their allegiance to one small, mid-rim system known for nothing so much as their tea and the misfortune of creating representatives with more sass than any other system in the Republic. It was a disaster, any way you sliced it. A disaster, that was, for everyone other than Stujon. As Obi-Wan saw it, they were getting a pretty good deal. The same idiotic senator, Obi-Wan decided henceforth to forget his name, came forward again. Even if this supposed marriage is legal, it's legal. Bail didn't interject often, but when he did, he was listened to. The senator's lip curled, barely acknowledging Bail at all. Even if, what rights does this grant them? The disgust in his voice left no doubt as to whom he was referring. Padme, dear, sweet Padme, who had to be exhausted after welcoming a beautiful pair of twins not 2 days before, happily took that one for him. Full and equal rights of citizenship within the Republic as recognized citizens of Stujon. Her smile was as sweet as it was deadly, as evidenced by the submission provided to us all. Senator Orne Freetah of Ryloth, one of the last senators Obi-Wan would have ever expected, floated his pod towards the center of the chamber. It is legal, he admitted grudgingly. There is no debate. The clones are recognized as Stujani citizens. Something that could almost be called a smile flickered over his face, the senator nodding at his Stujani counterpart. Congratulations, Senator Kenobi, Commander Cody. Obi-Wan inclined his head in return, content now to sit back and let the babble wash over him. His battle was won. What lay before them now, only the Force could say. Once the Senate officially published their acknowledgement of the citizen status of the Clone Army, things seemed to fly. One moment, Obi-Wan was watching Anakin announce his leave of absence from the Jedi Order to raise his children in peace, and the next, he was standing before the captains and commanders of the former Grand Army of the Republic, explaining things that ought to have been granted them from their very birth. You are free. You may go wherever you wish, do whatever you wish, but know this, wherever you may go, you and your descendants will always have a home on Stujon. The words were few and perhaps insufficient, but they were all that he could utter. Cody was a warm, steady presence by his side, approval flowing from him. Obi-Wan might feel his words insufficient, but for Cody, they were more than they could have expected. To Cody, they were enough. Quite what he had done to deserve the loyalty of a man as truly good as Cody, Obi-Wan could not say. The Force worked in mysterious ways, truly mysterious indeed, to decide him worthy of Cody's love and loyalty. The back of Cody's hand stroked across his cheek, drawing him from his thoughts to a room now filled with simply the two of them. Those looked like deep thoughts, Share. Obi-Wan could not help but smile, caressing Cody's face with his gaze. Just thinking about how lucky I am to have you, my dear. I'm the lucky one, Cody insisted, as he always did. The stubborn man. Look what you've just done for all my brothers. You gave us our freedom. You gave us lives free from having to die in a seemingly endless war. He could object, he wanted to, but Cody would defend his belief all night long. Obi-Wan knew that from bitter experience. His dear husband seemed determined not to let Obi-Wan doubt his worth. And, while Obi-Wan wasn't inclined to concede his point, he was wise enough to know to change the subject. Letting humor infuse his voice, he turned a twinkling gaze on Cody. And what about you, my dear? What lies on the horizon for you? Cody's eyes narrowed as if telling him he knew exactly what Obi-Wan was doing, but he indulged him. With a smile on his lips, Cody settled back in his chair. Well, there's this senator with a bit of a reputation for getting his cute arse kidnapped, and I thought I might stick around him for a bit, make sure nobody else gets any ideas. Obi-Wan leaned forward, eyes sparkling. This man. Now, why would you want to do that? Some silly reason, Cody dismissed, waving his hand. Gold glinted in the evening light. I married him. An eyebrow raised, eyes widening ever so slightly. Really? Cody agreed, shooting him a cheery wink. I hear it's what you're supposed to do when you love someone, and it's considered impolite to shoot people in the face for flirting with them. The laugh that bubbled from his lips surprised even Obi-Wan. Is that really why you married me? To stop people from flirting with me? No, Cody assured him, meeting his gaze with a wicked smile. I married you because you asked and I love you. The stopping people flirting with you bit was just a coincidental perk. I love you too, you wonderfully mad man. I know. Cody's smirk was perfectly maddening. Now, what is next for Senator Kenobi? Obi-Wan made a show of considering it. Well, I've got a little over 3 million new citizens to help settle into Stujon and her moons, two beautiful newborn godchildren to visit, and a war hero husband I've spent far too little time with. So I'm thinking of taking a nice, long holiday. His eyes sparkled with glee, enjoying the happiness that radiated from his dear Cody. Care to join me? I thought you'd never ask. The end. This concludes my Podfic Treats for Wander for the summer Podfic Swap. Wander, as I mentioned to you, this may feature my cat meowing in the background. She has been quite clingy today. She definitely was meowing underneath a lot of this. I don't know how much will make it into the final audio. But please, I don't know, appreciate sweet baby Nunu's sacrifice for the sake of Podfic. If you listened, I would really enjoy a kudos or comment just to let me know that you liked it. But yeah, thanks for listening.